I'm Dan.
And I'm Joey.
And this is the Celebrity Apprentice Recap.
I learned from this first task that some people will say anything to get a leg up on the competition. And I realize that's part of this. So it is in their vested interest to whittle away at Geraldo. But, you know, whittling away at Mount Rushmore is not so easy.
Yeah, that's right. You do not want to whittle away at Mount Geraldo. That is one of the things that we learned over the last two episodes, which aired, which we'll be going over tonight. We'll be going over episodes 2 and 3 of the current season of Celebrity Apprentice. Joey, what are the top things that you've taken away from these two episodes?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. So, first of all, this, you know, Geraldo is just becoming this overshadowing figure, right? Like, he really is like Mount Geraldo in the show.
Yes.
And that quote was phenomenal.
Yes, it was. I don't think there's going to be a better quote all year. That's it. Just end it right there when it comes to quotes. That's the one.
I totally agree. Like, that quote. And it's only, you know, January 6th, right? Or, well, yesterday, January 5th, you know, and already, even though we have 360 days for someone to come up in, you know, anywhere in the world with a better quote, I don't know that it can be topped.
Yes. See, I was just thinking for Celebrity Apprentice, but you're saying for quotes in all of the world.
I am. I'm saying in every possible arena, whether it's sports or politics or entertainment or whatever.
Well, when you think about it, sports, politics, and entertainment, really, you're all of those things. You're just describing Geraldo.
That is true. Just ask him.
He's all of those things. My goodness. I'll tell you, here's what I took away from the two episodes that we saw. You and me were wrong about everything. Everything that we were talking about and were making predictions on, just about, it kind of went out the window a little bit, didn't it?
Well, in what way? That he would sort of recede into the background a little bit? Is that what you mean?
No. I'm just talking about overall. Well, we were thinking that the men were just going to be walking all over the women and that the women would fall apart.
Oh.
And while they're still very bitchy, they've won both episodes. We both thought Kevin Jonas was going far and it was going to be a big battle between him and Geraldo. Kevin Jonas is gone in episode 2, and I totally did not see that coming. Even honestly, I was shocked that the men lost that episode. I really thought that they had that one won.
I felt the same way. So yeah, now that I understand where you're coming from, you're totally right. We were wrong. I did think the men were just going to steamroll the women, and you know, Trump was going to have to, you know, start moving people around again kind of early.
Yes, exactly. And I'll tell you what, I was feeling like, wow, how could we totally have that wrong and just be so off? But I'll tell you what, we have another brother, and I got a text from him, I'm telling you, not that long ago, this very evening, and he had just watched the first episode and sent a long, detailed text about about what he felt, and what he felt was Kevin Jonas was going to win.
Way to jinx him.
Yes, exactly. Now, he said it tonight, so he hadn't watched the second episode yet. Just watch the first one. Here's my thoughts. All right. Here's who's good. Here's who's bad. Kevin Jonas is going to win.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't blame him for thinking that, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. All right, so what did happen in the second episode, which is where they had to make a commercial for the Neat Connect scanner and the Neat Cloud service. So this is one of these types of tasks that you see every year in Celebrity Apprentice where they have to make a commercial. You know, I wonder if we could find some sort of checklist on the types of tasks that they have to do every year. Make a commercial.
You're right. Like the storefront yesterday with the pies.
Right, exactly.
Or the day before.
Yes, every year it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but it works, right? Well, like we talked about in our last episode, also our first episode, You know, they can keep the identical formula, but you know, as long as they keep coming up with all these amazing personalities, we're in, right?
Yeah. Oh no. It's not really a complaint. I'm definitely amused by it.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, I would like to have that on my Celebrity Apprentice bingo, where I could say, oh, okay, commercial episode.
Yeah. Right.
Just check that off.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
The men have Kevin Jonas as their project manager, and Kate Gosselin is the project manager for the women. And on the women's side, well, what seems to happen is that Kate doesn't seem to do a very good job, and that Lisa Gibbons basically takes over the task.
That was really surprising, you know, in a number of ways for me. You know, I thought that Kate was going to go far. You know, I don't really know her that well. You know, I've probably seen, you know, 8 combined minutes of her show, you know,
right, from, sure,
you know, but, and she impressed me. You know, she seemed like she was really, really organized and meticulous and, you know, pretty smart. And, you know, used to being in charge. And she did not seem like a leader at all. Right.
No, not in the least. And I'll tell you what, not that I was ever a big John and Kate Plus 8 fan, but the other day I was watching, there was a rerun of Celebrity Wife Swap, and it was her. It was her and Kendra Wilkinson, the former playmate. And when you see how Kate lives her life with all of those children, every minute is scheduled. Everything is detailed. So, right. Like, everything you're saying, yes, you are right. She comes across as an extremely detailed person because that's how she has to manage her life, has to manage that insane existence that she has. And here, she just did not know what to do with people who were over the age of 12.
It seemed to me like because she was so intimidated by what the task was about. Mm-hmm. that she just could never like, you know, turn her brain on again, right? Because like it was supposed to be about technology, and as soon as she heard the word technology in her brain, she even said it. She said, wow, it's technology. It's got to be the one thing. It's got my biggest weakness. And, you know, she didn't step up to meet that challenge. And I don't think that the technology involved was that complicated to get, right?
Yes, exactly. Look, we're not talking about the inside of your smartphone, you right. know. We're talking about basically a scanner and a cloud service. This is not that difficult in 2015.
Right, you right. People have been talking about cloud for quite a while now, and I think everybody knows that we're not talking about Lando Calrissian anymore, right?
No, I think so. You know, I mean, I've seen these neat Kinect scanner commercials forever,
sure.
where they, you know, they take a book, the receipt and a
an
invoice, and they scan it through. Oh, look, it's wonderful. It's like, yes, I totally get this. So Lisa Gibbons ends up taking over, and things kind of get smoothed out on the women's side. On the men's side, we have Geraldo, who has decided that okay. I've been to the first episode. Now I understand how this game works.
Right.
And now I'm going to subvert everything and be a huge pain in the ass the entire time. Now,
Right. He clearly does have that feeling that, you know what, that I think I can dominate this game. Right? Doesn't it seem like that?
Yes. I can dominate this game with my big personality. I will step over people. I am not afraid of anybody, and no one is going to be bigger than I am.
Right. Like, there's never – he's got to be one of the most incredibly confident people of all time. Like, you know, there's never a moment where he looks nervous, uncomfortable.
True.
Geraldo, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You are so right. He is not intimidated by anybody. And he, you know, other than Gilbert and maybe Kevin Jonas, he's probably like the next smallest human in the room. You know, everybody else is physically bigger than Geraldo, but
right.
He kind of towers over them, at least so far.
Well, it's really just like in the poster from the first episode, right? When he towered over them, right?
Yeah, this is true. Now, yes. All right, so the first sign that we get of this, I believe. Well, oh no, wait, no. I was gonna say when they meet the executives from Neat, but no, actually, it's on, just on the ride over. The two guys get when they get the buses or they get in the vans, and Geraldo is just giving Kevin Jonas a hard. I'm going to be a jerk to you, Kevin Jonas, on the phone with my stupid idea because I don't like the idea that they put us in the other van. In fact, you know what? I got a little audio for that. I got a little audio of Geraldo not liking being put in the other van.
Are we the B team, Geraldo?
He's trying to exclude us from the creativity. He told me I couldn't get in that van.
Kevin Jonas wanted to keep me out of the brain trust. He and Ian and Lorenzo were going to be, you know, the creators of this commercial. It was almost like the kids trying to get one over on Dad.
It's a jealous and insecure way to do it.
But they have to understand that I'm Geraldo. I'm not anyone to trifle with.
I like that. You know what was interesting to me about that was they didn't have footage of how they got separated, I guess, huh?
No, they didn't. They just had them in the vans. They were the two of them were in the vans. Well, you know, we're used to seeing 2-hour episodes of Celebrity Apprentice. We're now getting 1-hour episodes, so I'm sure there's plenty that's, you know, cut out, so we don't see how they got separated. But yeah, according to that, Kevin Jonas had it decided, I guess, who was going in one van and who was going in the other van. And for Kevin Jonas,
later on in that scene, in that moment there, I think it was Geraldo who said that he actually tried to get in the van and that he was told not to, right?
Yeah. He said it in that little clip I just played. He said
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. But that he was actually told.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, I mean, that's just – that to me is incredible, an incredible move by Jonas, don't you think?
Oh yeah, Kevin Jonas, I will tell you, got some chutzpah and definitely did his best to stand up to Geraldo. He most definitely did. He already knew exactly how it was that he wanted to play it. I'm the project manager. I got the guys that I know I want to work with. I want to work with Ian. I want to work with Lorenzo, and that's how he set it up.
Yep.
And everybody else that he didn't necessarily know what to do with. Especially Geraldo, who I'm sure he could tell was going to be trouble. All right, you just go into the kids' van. I like how Geraldo referred to himself as Dad.
Yes,
and the kids. Even Ian is 50, and Lorenzo Lamas has got to be pushing 60 years old.
Well, okay, but somebody said that he's Geraldo 71. So
yes, yeah. But nonetheless, but you don't look at anybody who's 50 years old and refer to them as a kid, do you?
I don't think so. And I don't think he really met Lorenzo in that, right? I think he's really talking about Jonas.
He might be.
Yeah.
He might be. All right. So let's move it along here. We do have the meeting where the Neat executives come in.
Oh, man.
And Geraldo becomes the biggest a-hole in the world. Gets what I believe is a fake cell call. And just starts talking loudly into his phone and I don't know. He has some sort of contract dispute that he was – that's what he was talking about on his phone, and you don't want to mess with him.
Okay, so that's interesting that you feel like that's a fake phone call because there are a couple of moments here in this 2-hour episode last night where I think Ian said it and maybe somebody else did that they kind of felt like – he was not this oblivious that, you know, he is faking some of this behavior and, you know, trying to sabotage, you know, Jonas.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't feel that way. I feel like he is oblivious, but you don't. I think that was a real phone call, that he was genuinely excited about it. And he just doesn't give a crap about, you know, anything else except, you know, he's on the phone right now and he's just going to be annoying.
Oh, no. I think it was totally calculated. I think as soon as they came in and as soon as they rolled up to talk to Kevin – well, actually, you know, when they first come in and they shake hands with Kevin, he jumps right in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was a big – that was like, okay, I'm in charge here, buddy. I mean, it was just, you know, the sword fight is happening right there.
Yes.
Right? I mean, right there. And then the phone call happens.
And then the phone call happens, yes, which Geraldo is just talking loudly and obnoxiously. I totally believe that's fabricated by him. I mean, honestly, I can't say for fact because I don't know, but that's the impression that I got. That, okay, this is exactly what he's doing. He's following up making Kevin look bad by stealing the spotlight of the handshake. And now he's going to just subvert and make it look like Kevin is not in control by being out of control. That's how it played to me when I saw it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's that you're sounding a little bit more like your other podcast host, Daryl Roberts, but you know, okay, maybe you're right. I don't feel that way. I think it's genuine. And also genuinely awful, but I don't think he's faking anything.
All right. So they make the commercial, and the women have a very, very basic commercial. Vivica Fox is in it as the needologist, and there's a woman, and she's got a bunch of papers everywhere, and then everything is wonderful. And on the men's side, it's kind of the same thing. You have except it's much funnier because it's Gilbert who's just yelling. Anytime you get Gilbert just in a commercial yelling, it's going to be funny. He's frustrated about stuff.
Yep.
So commercials are done, they're presented, and I'm thinking the men won. The men are thinking that they won, and no, the women win.
Well, remember, Danny, even Kate thought they won. The men won.
I don't think that I had remembered that, really.
Remember when he asked, you know, both teams like he normally does, who do you think won? And he turned to Kate, and her answer was something like, I think we met the criteria, and he was so unimpressed with that answer. He's, Kate, this doesn't sound like you at all. I guess you don't think you won, did you? Why don't you think you won? You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. So the men lose, the women leave, and well, now it's time for everybody to start fighting. Kevin is blaming Geraldo for the team's loss. He wrote the script, and the script did not talk about the cloud service, which was one of the problems of the commercial. And here's what – all right, let's just cut to the chase here, Joey. Here is the interesting thing, because I actually talked about this in our other show.
Yep.
I talked about the idea of if you're the project manager and you've got somebody that you don't want around, that you want to get rid of, you feel is the problem, it may be a good idea to bring in somebody – as an ally. And that's what Kevin Jonas does, but he announces that to the world.
Which is
honestly, this is the reason he got fired.
Absolutely.
He got fired. Trump, I'm sure, would have fired Lorenzo had he brought him back, because Lorenzo directed the commercial, and I think he would have preferred to keep Kevin and Geraldo around.
I think so too.
I'm presuming a lot here, but that's my gut instinct.
Well, he was never going to fire Geraldo. Like Geraldo is he's made of Teflon, right? Like nothing can happen to him right now.
Yes.
And you know, Jonas, as good as he was at a lot of things, a lot of good ideas, and really not a bad leader, just was naive in how he thought Trump would respond in the boardroom to certain things. And I agree with you. If you're going to try that strategy where basically it's you and your buddy ganging up on the guy you don't want, then you can't just go ahead when Trump says, well, why are you bringing back Ian? You can't say, well, you know, I'm hoping that he's going to help me and, you know, get rid of Geraldo.
Yeah.
That's just very, really, I guess, naive, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely naive. And I poor – it is the kind of thing where if that's the strategy that you are going to try to put out there, you need to have spoken about this strategy beforehand, because it's just as big of a shock to Ian. Because Iron doesn't want to be called – no, you don't want to be called back in. Nobody wants to be called back in. You need to know. Okay, listen, I'm sure that we won, but just in case. Look, we need to get rid of Geraldo, so it's you and me. It's you and
– well, do you remember –
do something like that.
You know, another moment that he had in the boardroom when Trump asked him who he thought that should get fired, and he said, well, I want to wait a few minutes to see how this is going to go.
Yes. I heard that too, and I thought, okay, that's a good tactic to have, but you can't say that.
Right.
You have to think of something else to say to put it off, but that's what you're thinking. Look, I'm actually just waiting to see how things go, and then I'll drop the boom on somebody. Yeah, you can't go ahead and spit that out. And really, Kevin Jonas got fired because Trump was offended that he tried to outthink him. Do you know you want to know what the name of this episode is?
I already do, and I think we all learned a lesson.
Yeah, what is it, Joey? What's the name of this episode?
You can't outthink Trump.
Nobody outthinks Donald Trump is the name of the episode, and you know what? Maybe that's the biggest takeaway that we should have from this one. Holy cow. Nobody outthinks Donald Trump.
Well, we know that he feels that way, right?
Well,
but
yes, of course.
He didn't try hard to outthink him. If he tried to outthink him, then he wouldn't have been so honest and upfront about what his strategy was. So he didn't try to outthink him. He just miscalculated, you know, how much he had to, the way he had to finesse Trump. And he didn't think he had to.
You are correct. So, yes.
Yeah.
He really wasn't trying to outthink him as much as Trump took it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He just mm-hmm. because if he was trying to outthink him, then he would have been a lot quieter about his strategy.
Yes.
So that was an awful, awful rookie mistake. And you know, if you got to be careful about what you admit, you know, in the boardroom. And it's a lot like, you know, and I mentioned this the other night. I know you know you don't watch Survivor, but in the tribal council, Jeff Probst, you know, the host of the show, it's sort of like a boardroom situation, except that he's not making the decision. Everybody else is going to vote, but he's going to ask you very pointed questions in that tribal council situation, and you have to be careful how you answer, you know. And one wrong answer can all of a sudden flip all the votes either against you or mm-hmm. against somebody else on your alliance, and so that's a very, you know, that's a very tight dance that, you know, people are sort of performing in there. And that's the same thing in the boardroom. You don't want to say the wrong thing. Your answers have to be really well thought out. You have to stall, I think, at times.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that he'll move on to something else.
That's exactly right, because it's all just questions that are really jabs. Yes, I'm just probing you to say, to spill your guts, say something negative. I want some bile to come out of you. That's all it is. He's just poking around to see who's going to spill their guts. And you got to think to, you know, not say something, to deflect some other way. Well, you know what? Honestly, everybody did great. You know, you got to try to sell that is what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the fallout from this actually to me is that everybody on the guys team going forward is going to be incredibly intimidated by Geraldo. Like, he became super powerful, I think, after this episode.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think there was something else that I did take away from this, and that is that Ian is now going to be – Ian's like the one guy who's ready to stand up to Geraldo.
I agree. But at the same time, he's not going to be stupid about it. Like,
yes, exactly.
He's going to be smart and, you know, play, you know, hide in the weeds when he needs to.
Yes.
And he's not going to be super aggressive and upfront about what his motives are, the way Jonas was.
Yes.
So I think he stands the best chance among the guys of maybe taking down Geraldo.
I think so too. I would say the biggest problem Ian has is the fact that he hasn't been project manager and Geraldo already has. So whenever it's Ian's time to come up, he's going to have a problem with Geraldo. He's going to have to find a way to isolate him. He's going to have to say, all right, Geraldo, what I need you to do is to go get some costumes all the way in Newark and then just have him gone for, you know, 8 hours or something. Just give him some impossible task.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I don't know that that'll work, because I think Geraldo will be offended by that. Like, I could see him saying, listen, you're not giving me some meaningless task. I need to be, you know, a creative guy. I need to be, you know, doing the voiceover. I need to write the script. Don't you think that he's going to perceive that as a slight, that he's getting this menial task?
He absolutely will. But if you keep him around, he's going to try to subvert. He's going to try to cause a problem.
Yeah, so this is where I think you take a lesson from The Godfather, and what you do is you make him your buddy. As much as you can't stand him, I think that you give him something to do that is important, Because don't forget, there's another thing that happened in this episode, which is that Geraldo actually did things that didn't work out, right? Like, didn't he write this? He wrote the script, right?
He wrote the script, which is why he was brought back.
Right. And nobody seized upon that as strong enough for Trump to, like, say, well, wait a second, Geraldo, you know, you did do these things. So, like, that would have been the rallying cry for Jonas to try to get him out. Is, look, he actually did screw this thing up.
Yeah, well, yeah. Unfortunately for Jonas, though, he put his own neck in the noose once he announced to the world that he was bringing back Ian as a trap. So even if he brought back Lorenzo, right? Yeah. Like Trump wanted him to bring back Lorenzo. Trump maybe fires Lorenzo. Maybe he could convince him to fire Geraldo, but none of the arguments mattered. Once he said, all right, I'm bringing back Ian, and it's because the two of us will team up against Geraldo, that was it. It was already over.
How did you like Ian's response when Geraldo said that – I mean when Trump said that he played into Jonas's hands by letting him bring him into the boardroom? You remember that?
Yeah.
And then Ian's like – How do I play into his hands? I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I know. What was he supposed to do?
I know.
What Trump wanted was for Ian to say, no, you got to get rid of Kevin Jonas because he brought me back here and I'm pissed off. He wanted that reaction. And Ian was just like, no, get rid of Geraldo. No, get rid of Geraldo.
I mean, Trump totally wants, you know, to start the fight.
Yes, he does.
He wants the drama to be happening, and then he wants to sit back there and be entertained by it and then see what else comes out.
Yeah, he wants to sit there, right, just like he's like the Roman emperor, and then stick his hand out and then do the thumbs down to somebody.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. That's all that he wants, you know. Yep. Do you think, though, once he has his mind set up, like – do you think that he goes into the boardroom thinking who he might fire already? That's one question. And then the second question is, do you think that once he makes up his mind in the boardroom who the weakest player is, that you can't change his mind?
Oh, yeah. I think once he makes his mind up, I don't think it changes. I do think that. I don't know if he has his mind set, because I don't think he had decided to fire Kevin. Like, I think that was something that happened right then.
Because
he got offended by something. So, all right, now my mindset has changed.
You're so right. Now, but and in this case, he didn't have a choice. He had to change his mind because I think he wanted to fire Lorenzo.
Yeah, I think he did too.
So what you got to do when you're playing apprentice is you got to figure out in the boardroom, okay, who does Trump want to get rid of?
Yeah.
You know, and bring him in and say, hey, sorry, Lorenzo, and you know, but – you know, I got to pick two people and, you know, this is the way it goes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. But again, I think it's the kind of thing where clearly most of these people have never watched this show before, so they have no idea what's going on.
They do. They look like Lorenzo, for instance, looks like a deer in the headlights, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. You know, he did a nice job directing that commercial. You know, he seemed to do okay managing the people, but yeah, he kind of has that look about him. I would totally agree. Yeah.
And you know, he actually tried to do a good thing with Geraldo, and then Geraldo perceived that as Hollywooding him. Yes, he did.
He took Geraldo to the side. He tried to talk to him. All right, listen, you know, maybe we could do this, do that. And Geraldo wasn't having anything. He put his arm on him, and Geraldo, like, shrugged it off. Like, don't touch me. Hey, look, don't touch me, pal.
I thought that was, and maybe I'm wrong, but the way that editing went on that, I thought it was because Geraldo was still mad at Jonas from a few moments before whatever they showed.
It's entirely possible that is accurate.
Yeah.
It is
so
possible.
If that's the case, then, you know, he's still holding on to the – to that. You know, once you get angry, it's kind of tough to, like, lose that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if there's someone like Geraldo who doesn't worry about, you know, who you're offending. You know, so, yeah, he says he's off. Don't Hollywood me. And then after that, Lorenzo's His body language changed because he went from being, hey, you know what, I think it would be a good idea to get Geraldo involved, and so let me, you know, see if I can do this for him or whatever. And it seemed like it was really genuine, and then as soon as that happened, he's like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. And he said, look, I've been in the business for over 30 years. As the most egotistical, arrogant jerk, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
He gave that whole thing. So anyway, Kevin Jonas is done. We should move on to episode three, in which we had our teams now must present they must have a presentation for the frozen food products line, Luvo. Okay. So here we have the women with Vivica A. Fox as their project manager and Terrell Owens as the men's project manager. Okay. So what they're going to do – you know, when they explain tasks like this, I'm never quite sure. Like, what is that exact? It's not until I see it actually happening that I fully get it. It's like, all right, we're going to be doing a presentation and we're serving food and we're talking about the products. What? Okay. So the women – well, okay. The women seem to be doing all right in this one, right? They seem to be doing all right, except for – and here's what I think is the big takeaway on this episode, Joey, is don't try to shirk duties because you have your period.
The moon cycle.
Holy cow. That is the – you know, of all the drama that went on, this I couldn't get over. That first of all, was it Shawn Johnson? It was her excuse, right?
It sure was, yep.
And that Vivica A. Fox brought it up in the boardroom, and that she said it in that way.
Yeah, I couldn't believe she brought that up.
Oh, she had her damn period. That's what she said. She got her damn period.
She sure said that.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. How embarrassing for Shawn Johnson for that to go down in that way. I mean, that was really kind of – there wasn't a lot of drama so much, I didn't think, on the women's side with this one. But, that was a problem. And, in fact, once Trump offered to trade Geraldo to the women – yep. Vivica, who would you trade back? Shawn Johnson.
You know, and there you go. So there's an example of that thing that we talked about the other day where he wants you to throw somebody under the bus right away. And I think that, like I said the other night, you know, that actually it's two phases. Like the first phase is, you know, he's going to ask you that question and then you have to stall and dance and not say anything, you know, give him a no answer unless he's going to really just not going to let it go. I think you have to survive that first phase. And she went right to it. You know, she wasn't stalling. She was like, she just thought about it for a second and said, yeah, okay, Sean.
All right. So now Terrell Owens kind of did what you were talking about doing. He was kind of being pals with Geraldo. That's how he was going to handle that situation. And for the most part, Geraldo was nowhere near the problem in this episode that he was in episode two.
Right.
I mean, he's still out there with the ego, but it was not as adversarial this time around.
Sure. Absolutely right.
T.O. said, all right, listen, you're going to be in charge of branding Geraldo. Geraldo came up with a very clunky, terrible slogan. Eat lean, live long, eat Luvo for a delicious life. How long do you need a slogan to be? That's terrible.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's be fair here. You know, he tried to deliver a very short slogan in the episode before.
Neat. Sweet. She said over and over and over again to piss off Kevin Jonas.
Like if you just kept saying it, you know, 50 times, eventually everybody's going to fall in love with it.
Yes, that's right. Eventually, you're going to like this. It's just like hearing a song on the radio. You hear it about 50 times. It's like, you know what? This isn't so bad. Yes.
Neat. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. That slogan is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Eat lean, live long, eat Luvo for a delicious life. You know, maybe if For a Delicious Life was left off, maybe if they had picked – it's as though he took two slogans and smashed them together into one long, terrible one. So
it was bad.
Now, Lorenzo and Ian both said it's not good and it's too long. And it ends up being one of the reasons that they lose, that the men lose, is one of the things that they don't like is that clunky slogan.
Right.
Now, the women, they have their presentation, and what did you think of their presentation in which Vivica A. Fox was a coach, and she's got a mustache, and she's barking orders to the girls? What did you think of this?
Well, okay. Well, before we even talk about that, the particular or the differences between the presentations, I just think it's funny that they have that the task is to have a presentation where you're serving the company's food that they make.
Right.
I mean, is that what I understood? Like, they weren't like making new dishes or anything.
No,
they were just heating up the food that these people already sell.
Yes, this is correct. This is correct.
That was so weird. Like, oh yeah, this tastes really good. Well, of course, because if you follow the directions on your box.
Well, you know, I think that maybe this was a new line of stuff that they were coming out with, or am I completely wrong about that stuff?
Well, even if it was, it's still them eating their own food, though.
Yes, it is. This is correct. You're giving Ray Kroc a Big Mac. Here you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly. What do you think about this Big Mac, Ray Kroc, that you made?
But wait, first, let me do a song and a dance and then present it to you. Now, how do you feel about it, huh?
Yes. And here's the other thing that was to me, too, about the presentation. The only way you can get this is if you're on that airline, right? Like, you can't go online and buy that, can you?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. So, like, you're only going to eat this if you're on, you know, American Airlines or whichever airline it was. So,
right. I think it was Delta. I think it might have been Delta.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Say it was Delta. But, like, I don't know. I thought that the concept of the presentation was kind of bizarre.
Yes.
But, you know, maybe there was a nuance to it that I don't really understand. But to go back to your question, I felt bad for Vivica because I think that she really stressed and tried really hard to make it work. And then she goes into the kitchen and finds out that, like, the one thing that the one detail that she didn't micromanage is the one that's going to kill them. You know, where I think it was Sean that was in charge of basically heating up the food and each. So, you know, so the idea is that you heat up this one dish. And then you serve it to them, you know, in a colorful way with interesting costumes and whatever.
Right.
And then after, but while the people are sampling that dish, then you got to start heating up the next one right away.
Yes.
That was the where they fell apart because they were done with the first dish. She went back there and they had either just gotten started or they were about to do it.
They were just pushing the button to start that. And it was like 3 minutes. It was a 3 minute heat up in the microwave. Yeah, she should have done it once Vivica went out there in her coach's demeanor, in her coach's costume. That's when that microwave needed to be going. So you're right. That was a problem. And I thought Vivica did a very good job other than the whole period problem. Because that's just – I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, she did a really good job of vamping, you know, and stalling for time.
Yes.
So I don't think that hurt anything. But I got to tell you that, okay, some of the ideas that they had for the people, like the one that was the most ridiculous to me was when – so she's supposed to be this character who's a guy, a Coach Fox.
Yes.
And the fake mustache and like the – like sort of men's looking hair.
Yes.
I guess. And what was interesting to me and really dumb and stupid and ridiculous was when they bring out one of the Olympians – who is dressed showing her stomach.
Yes.
And she's supposed to be doing like knee bends and stuff like that. And she is supposed to be this athlete. And she does not look like – she's got a bit of a gut.
Yes, she sure did.
She sure did.
She sure did.
You know, and that's too bad because I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she was in the Body issue of ESPN the magazine not that long ago.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. She's a legitimate athlete, you know. I mean, she's a snowboarder and, you know, she medaled and all that stuff. And you know, yeah, she was known for being, you know, pretty darn hot. And so, you know, she's lost some of that, which is fine. But, you know, don't dress that way is all I'm saying.
Yes. No, absolutely. No, we did not need to say – you could have had something that covered your stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you would – I mean, if you have a stomach like that hanging out and you're a professional, you know, well, former professional athlete and you've been, you know, in the Body issue of ESPN the magazine, aren't you just like self-conscious about that? Like, wouldn't you just like say, no, I can't. That's not me.
I most certainly would be. But, you know, who knows? Maybe there's some delusion that goes on with some people out there. Or maybe it's just the idea that she's shown off her body so many times she doesn't even think, ah, look, I'll show it off again. What's the big deal? I'm showing it off all the time.
Yeah, it could be any of those things or something else. But yeah. I know that I was distracted by that for her. You know,
Jessica, my wife pointed it out as well. So it was not just you who noticed that. And let's get to the men's side. They have a very nice and kind of professional presentation. Everybody comes out kind of dressed the same. And they basically just kind of explain each dish and kind of explain how Luvo works. And T.O. said to everybody, look, come up with your scripts for your part. You're going to do this. Come up with a script for it. And they wanted to guide Gilbert in a certain direction, and Gilbert wasn't interested in being guided in any direction. You know, I'm just gonna, I don't know, say something. What could go wrong? What could it hurt? When have I ever gotten in trouble by just saying things, says Gilbert.
Well, you know, to his credit, when he said that, he was laughing. Like he knew that was probably – that could potentially be fraught with peril.
Oh, right? Well, he's gotten in trouble, you know, before saying, yeah. You know, with off-color – you know, he got fired from being the Affleck duck from for some off-color jokes that he's done before. So he's kind of got a history there.
Which he also alluded to.
Yes, exactly. So he goes out. I'll tell you what. I thought it was hilarious.
It was – well, you know what?
For all the wrong reasons, but yes, it was hilarious. It was
definitely hilarious, you know, especially when he said, you know, so you, sir, when he brought the other guy into it.
Yes.
Do you remember that? It's like that was really, really funny. I think it was probably also a bit that he's used many times in his past. I don't think that was really off the cuff.
I'm sure it was.
Right. So it was funny. The fact that any woman has ever – agreed to have sex with me, so there's hope for even you, sir. That was pretty terrific.
Yes, he goes out there and says that joke. And again, just to quickly go back to Celebrity Wife Swap, in which I've seen the one with Gilbert and Alan Thicke swapping wives. The one thing that this all sound terrible, but I kept thinking, wow, this woman married Gilbert Gottfried. I was that really kind of like, wow, I couldn't get over that for a few minutes. Like, what must the wooing period have been like?
I know.
With Gilbert Gottfried. So he goes out there and tells these jokes that I think are funny, and I also think it's funny because I know how offensive it is, especially in that setting. But they go over like a lead balloon. They clearly clunked on the floor, and I'm sure it must have been awkward. It must have felt so awkward in there after he did that.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it was clearly the disaster that – the show sort of hinted that it would be, right?
Yes, that's correct. That is absolutely correct. So now it's time into the boardroom, and I was thinking the men had won this except for when Gilbert opened his big mouth. And then I wasn't so sure. Then I was like, oh, man, no, I don't know. Oh, if you've offended the people, they're going to remember that. They're going to really remember that maybe more than anything else. And so sure enough, the women do win. And the reasons
– Wait, 1 second, Dane. Let me just take you back a little bit if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
So when the men were coming in and they were doing their presentation compared to the women's presentation
– yeah.
And I think this is a mental block that I have. I just remember the moment when the men are walking through and, you know, I think Geraldo was one of the first people to walk through and he's carrying, you know, his dish. And I was thinking to myself, that just was so much more impressive looking to me that I thought they were going to win. Like, and it's because of the star power that I think that the men have over the women, you know, in my opinion, right? So, like, the I think you see Geraldo Rivera, you see Terrell Owens, and it's just like, whoa, these are like really, you know, big time, you know, recognizable people. And here they are, they're serving people and they're wearing aprons. And that to me is really cool. Whereas the women come in and, although they're accomplished in their respective fields, they're not like super mainstream,
right?
You know, so that to me is probably something I have to get over because these executives don't care as much about that, right? They're focused on, you know, what what the message is and how well you're, you know, sending and delivering that message. So yeah. To me, that was just my takeaway. That was a takeaway for me. It's like, okay, I got to realize that although I'm seeing this, that's I got to be more critical mm-hmm. of how they're actually performing when it comes to the message in particular.
Yeah, yeah. Because I thought the same thing. When the men came out there, they were all dressed in some sort of a chef type thing, and they had behind them pictures of each one with the Luvo sign above it. It looked very good. It looked very uniform. I wasn't impressed with the women's presentation, really. I thought the coach thing was kind of dumb. I didn't really understand how it related. I guess you're going to eat Luvo to stay fit or whatever. It just seemed silly to me.
Yeah.
But Gilbert really is the one I think was the tipping point. It was the tipping point in the loss. Now they did not like the slogan. So when it comes time to bring people back into the boardroom, well, of course T.O.'s got to go back because he's the project manager. So he brings Geraldo again. It's like second episode in a row. He's brought back and bringing in Gilbert because here. Here's what they're saying. Okay, well, we didn't like the slogan, and we didn't like this, we didn't like that, and we didn't like Gilbert Gottfried. He is named in the things that they didn't like.
Well, and we found Gilbert Gottfried. He put it out there.
He did. He totally put it out there.
He might have actually he might as well have been wearing a sandwich board with his sandwich board sign with his name on it, right? Gilbert, when he did his thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just like so like, you know, I'm Gilbert Gottfried and I stand out from all of these other guys for really horrible reasons in his performance right now in front of you.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Maybe that would have been a better idea if they had taken Gilbert and instead of putting him in exactly the same kind of outfit as everybody else and giving him the same, you know, a same kind of a story as everybody else. If they had made him like an actual kind of clown and put him with a sandwich board that said Luvo on it. And then he just, all right, look, just go yell something positive about the food. You know, that might have worked. You might have been able to use him better that way. What do you think?
You know, I think you might be onto something there. Because I actually, you know, you go back to that celebrity wife swap episode that you mentioned with him and Alan Thicke. I saw that episode also, and I've always been intrigued by Gilbert Gottfried because I keep waiting for him, you know, to slip out of character one day, you know, and he's never done that. And I saw that episode, and he didn't do it there, you know, and he didn't do it here at all. And I'm starting to think that, you know what, that's just him. Like, he's not, he's not Stephen Colbert, you know, like, he's not playing a role, you know, super hardcore. That really is just kind of him.
Yeah, I believe you're correct there. That really is just kind of him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that he likes that about himself, and he's willing to accept it. And he's just – that's just the way it's going to be. And I think you're – but so to your question, I think that you make a great point. Like, you know, you can't fit Gilbert into a box. It cannot be done.
Yes.
And in fact, you have to go out of your way to figure out how to make him a successful part of your team, whatever that might be. So like I think even in that celebrity – keep calling it celebrity – but the wife swap episode – Alan Thicke's wife had to conform to him more than she expected to. Remember that?
Yes.
Right? So, like, you know, in order for him to buy in and not just, like, you know, laugh at you every time you try to impose a rule on him or whatever. And you can get him to move a little bit, but you can't get him to move a lot. So, you know, that was not a great idea by T.O. On the other hand, Danny, if you look at it this way, this is after the fact.
Okay.
It is sort of brilliant if you were to go into it thinking this way that, listen, Gilbert Gottfried is a disaster. And if I just leave him alone, he's probably going to screw this thing up. And if we don't, and if we don't win, then – I've got an easy out because everybody knows he's a disaster.
Yes.
And Trump knows he's a disaster. Everybody does, right?
We all know that Gilbert's not long for this game.
Right, yeah. Right.
This right. is true. Nobody was thinking that, oh, well, you know what? Gilbert's got a shot at this. Nobody thought that.
Right. Yes.
You just all right. Well, gee, who's he was probably more in the category of all right. Give me three people you think could go out first.
Right. So, and I really don't think T.O. thought that way, but you know, it was nonetheless effective that it worked out that way.
Yes.
Right.
And so, when it comes down to it, Trump ends up firing Gilbert Gottfried, and you know, Trump tries to spin it into this. Well, you really don't want to be here, do you, Gilbert? I'm just going to like almost as though he was letting him off the hook. I'm just going to let you off the hook here by firing you. Because, you know, look, like Geraldo, you want to be here, don't you? Oh, yes, I love it here. And T.O., you want to be here? Yes. I wish I had been here years ago. I would have matured much faster.
Oh, right.
And blah, blah, blah. But Gilbert, you probably would like to go home, wouldn't you? You know, he had that whole thing. You know, I remember when Daryl Strawberry was on, and it was kind of that. That was kind of like, yeah, you know, I would like to go home. It was the same kind of conversation, except Gilbert wasn't as agreeable to it as Daryl was when that happened. But Gilbert said that he wanted to stay, but I kind of felt that Trump was right, that Gilbert kind of wanted to go home. In fact, I'll tell you what. I've got a quote here from Gilbert after the fact saying I really wanted to take everyone aside and tell them, no matter how many pies or frozen dinners you sell, you're not really going to be hired by Donald Trump. I think these people really started to believe that Donald Trump is that stupid that he'd actually hire them.
When did he say that?
This was in a post-interview that I read on TVLine.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have a slightly different take than you on how the firing occurred.
Go ahead.
Because the way he did it, and just you're probably going to be amazed by this. I actually have watched last night's episode three times now.
All right. I am very much impressed by this fact. Now, what do you remember everything?
Well, I don't know if you should be impressed or unimpressed.
Well, look, you know what? You knew this was coming up. You wanted to be well prepared. It's fine.
Yeah, of course. That's part of my research.
Yeah,
scrutinizing it carefully, writing a lot of notes. But what I observed is that when he went in that crucial moment when he was talking about whether or not people wanted to be there, he didn't ask Gilbert first. He asked T.O. and then he asked Geraldo. Well, I don't know the order, but he asked T.O. and Geraldo first.
Yes.
And then he asked Gilbert.
Yes.
And so I didn't feel like you do about that he let him off the hook. I think that he may have sensed it, but he still asked it in this similar fashion, whether or not you want to be here. And listen, if you're Trump, this is how I felt about it. If you're Trump, if you hear reticence, any kind of reluctance in that answer,
mm-hmm.
you know, so like T.O.'s response was like what you said. It was said, listen, I've learned a lot. I wish I'd played this earlier. It would have helped me more with my relationships and my career, blah, blah, blah. I love this game, but I'm here. And then Geraldo said, listen, I'm here for the long haul. You know, I love this. I'm competitive. I want to be here. And then Gilbert Gottfried's like, it's a game, you know. So
yes.
It's sort of cool, I guess. But, you know, it's not life and death to me. You know, it's – and if you say that to Trump, it doesn't matter at what stage of the boardroom it is.
That's it.
You're getting fired.
Yes.
You are not going to disrespect – his judgment opportunity here by sort of like playing it casual. No. You better act and act well like this means everything to you.
That's correct.
If you don't do that, then I think he's going to be offended. So, and he's not going to let you stay. You know, you need to exude incredible enthusiasm at this tremendous opportunity, you know, for you to be in the boardroom here with two other guys that are about to get fired.
Yeah, you know, all right.
By Trump.
I'll tell you what, the exact statement that I just had from Gilbert speaks to the exact opposite of what you're talking about. It totally kind of goes along with what you're saying. But yes, it does have Gilbert's Gilbert is sitting there thinking, look, no one's really getting hired.
Right.
There's not really a job when this thing is over as the celebrity apprentice. Although I got to say, Pierce has kind of gotten a lot of mileage out of it. Pierce has gotten a lot of mileage out of winning Celebrity Apprentice by showing up every year and sitting there and being a jerk all the time.
That's interesting. That's an interesting thought there. So, like, is he the biggest, you know, winner? Well, quote unquote winner.
Joan Rivers, also the late Joan Rivers. You know, she is actually going to be appearing in 2 episodes this year.
No way.
Yeah, she is going, and I think she's either going to be, she's going to be one of the guys. You know, she's going to be what Pierce was, one of his.
Oh, you're kidding.
His lackeys. Yeah, there's 2 episodes of that coming.
Oh,
up.
Oh wow, that's I. You know what? It'll be interesting, and we should note this. To see this whatever spike there may be in the ratings.
Oh, sure.
For that episode.
Yeah.
That's really something. I wasn't aware of. Do you know when she's going to show up?
No, I don't know. I just know that it is over 2 different episodes, though, that she'll be there.
Okay. So, but Pierce, I don't think, but maybe I'm wrong, I don't think he got the CNN gig because of his
No. Okay. In terms of, like, career spikes, you know, Joan had a nice career spike. Arsenio got the Arsenio Hall show again.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah,
is
that's
insane.
That's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
He's the biggest guy. Right?
Yeah.
When you say he's the one that has parlayed the most out of anybody.
Yeah. Bret Michaels parlayed it pretty good as well. He seemed to be
He
was everywhere for a moment there.
What'd you say?
He was everywhere for a moment there. And you know what? I'll tell you what. You can still get some friggin' Traparaca Snapple at the Walgreens. I still see that to this day, and I'm amazed every time. I'm like, wow, that
would you see that at
like
Walgreens or something?
Yeah, at Walgreens I see it.
I gotta get it.
It's never individual. It's always like the pack. You know,
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what? Now I'm motivated because I have seen it, but like, you know, you're right. Like, I gotta get that. No, but Bret Michaels did get some mileage off of that, but yeah. He had already had his Rock of – what was it called? Rock of Love?
Oh, Rock of Love. Yeah, he had 2
He'd
of them.
He already had that by then, I think.
Look, he'd been definitely doing the celebrity reality show circuit, you know.
I think he had some bump, but not a huge bump. Yeah. I think what you said before, I think Arsenio's had the biggest bump.
Yeah.
Pierce had a bump.
Yeah.
And I think Omarosa kind of had a bump.
Oh, well, yeah, well, from the season 1 of Apprentice, when she's just a regular person.
That was the only time she didn't do a reality show before that?
No, that's where she comes from. She comes from Apprentice.
Okay. But did she do a reality show after that?
She did. Yeah, she was on The Surreal Life. She did a bunch of reality shows after that. Like, you know, then,
okay.
Because she was such a pain in the ass because you know, she was the bad guy. And obviously had such an effect. And I know she went far. She might have been runner up or something. She didn't win, but she did well.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to say something that's a little controversial perhaps. But doesn't she – just don't actually like respond yes or no right away. Don't you think that she comes across in a way as the female Geraldo only because – not just simply that she's aggressive and annoying, but that she's completely oblivious – I'm already changing my opinion. She's not oblivious. Oblivious to how she may – her actions are affecting other people. And actually, I'm going to change that. No, I think she is actually more self-aware of how people are perceiving her than Geraldo. She just kind of doesn't care.
Well, you know, she knows that's her role. She knows that her role is to be a bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She knows that she's a villain. You're so right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
She totally knows. Listen, but when the last time that she was on Celebrity Apprentice with Pierce.
Yes. Yes.
Like 3 years ago, maybe something like that.
Whenever it was. It was the first Celebrity Apprentice was with Pierce. Didn't Pierce wins the first one?
It's the very first one?
Yeah. It's the first Celebrity Apprentice that he wins. Yeah. And she's on then.
Oh, I see what you mean. So, like, she was on The Regular Apprentice first.
Yes. Then she's on Celebrity Apprentice. And then she's on Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars.
Oh, okay. So this is where I'm thinking about it. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the time she gets to All-Stars, Trump is keeping her around. So, like, like Geraldo, who keeps getting called into the boardroom, right?
Yep.
That's a similarity. Omarosa kept getting thrown into the boardroom. But after a while, people stopped – bringing her into the boardroom because they thought, listen, there's no way Trump's going to fire her. And do you remember at some point Trump got annoyed by that? He's like, why are you not bringing Omarosa in here? Do you really, you think I won't fire her? You don't know me. You don't know what I'm going to do. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Right. So like, yeah. But I think that may start happening now with the fellas, because I feel like, you know what? So, okay. So I think of Geraldo right now as in the position of Tiger Woods, you know, like six, seven years ago. There was a point when Tiger Woods was so dominant that all of the other golfers out there, they didn't even try. Like, they knew, but their heads were down, and they were always very deferential when talking about him, and nobody like really tried to challenge him and stuff. He just completely overshadowed the sport. And I just really feel like right now that's how people are looking at Geraldo. Like, man, you cannot mess with Geraldo. You know, I'm afraid of him. Like, maybe they're not saying that they're afraid of him, but like, they don't feel like I think that they see him as unbeatable, that he is Superman. Like, there's no point in firing the gun, you know, because they saw Jonas fire the gun, you know, five times into his chest and then throw it at him. Like, remember that when they did that in the old, right?
Yes, exactly. Right. Yes, he, you know what? This is correct. All of these things happen. Yeah. Kevin Jonas did everything he could.
Yes,
he even tried to bring Ian Ziering into the boardroom to help him. Nothing worked. You're right.
So that would be throwing the gun.
Yeah, that would. That wasn't throwing the gun at Geraldo.
And shockingly, the gun still bounced off his chest after the other six bullets didn't. Yeah. Also did, right?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you. The Omarosa thing actually crossed my mind when I saw – when I saw Geraldo in episode 2 doing the neat sweet thing talking over Kevin Jonas and just being obnoxious for the point of being obnoxious, and also when he took the phone call and he was just completely just trying to ruin that little meeting that was going on, Omarosa popped in my head. So there, you are definitely on to something there.
There's something there.
I don't think Ian is that intimidated by Geraldo. I think Ian is lying in wait, but I think you're right about everybody else. Everybody else does not want to mess with him at all. He's laid down the gauntlet, good or bad.
But I don't think Ian or any – I think we both agree that Ian has the best chance of taking down Geraldo.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think he has to be taken down by a woman. You know, whether it's Lisa or Vivica. In fact, who do you think is the strongest woman right now?
Right now, I'm looking at Lisa, and I got to look at Vivica since she won. She doesn't have to go up again, and she was fairly competent during this particular challenge. Lisa did well because she went ahead and took over doing that commercial. You know, she almost was the project manager instead of Kate Gosselin. Kate Gosselin gets credit for the win, but Lisa did a lot of the work. Now, Lisa hasn't gone yet, so we don't know what's going to happen when she's actually in charge. You know, right now, Vivica, you know, she can lie in wait for a little while. She can just kind of, you know, just do her best to participate and not step on toes and you know, survive for the next several weeks until her number comes up. So, on the women's side, those are the two standouts to me.
I totally agree. And I actually, you know, after the first episode, I thought Kate was going to be one of the strong ones. And I just feel like she just super, super exposed herself as really not that strong or confident.
No.
Yeah. Remember when she was, there was that one point when she was saying, listen, you got to eat.
Oh yeah, she was. That's right. And they told her like, "Look, leave us alone. We're working." That's correct.
Yeah, right. That's right. We're actually doing work over here.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, you know, if the women had lost, wouldn't she have been the one to be fired? Or maybe it would have been Sean. Oh wait, I'm mixing up the episodes.
Yeah. All right. No. If the women had lost when Kate Gosselin was in charge, they lost the commercial one. She would have been gone. No doubt about it.
Who else would have gone with Kate?
In the boardroom?
Yeah. What do you think?
Okay. Well, Lisa would have gone in the boardroom because she did you know, she did everything. And then I don't know who else.
Brandy.
Well, okay. Yeah. Brandy had a little bit of an issue with Kate because it's Kate's choice. So who would Kate bring back?
Right.
You know, you'd find out what they were focused on. And so Kate would think, okay, I got to bring back Lisa because she basically made the commercial. And who was a problem for me? Oh, Brandy was a problem for me. Yeah, so that's I think how that
is. Brandy the one that called her lazy in the first episode?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
Yes. Yes.
And so, like, you know, she's holding that grudge. Like, that's like Kate's making that list, you know, of all the slights. And boy, I'm really disappointed in Kate because I just thought that she was going to be mm-hmm. better.
See, and now you know how John Gosselin felt. Now you know.
I guess so. Like now, right. You know what? You're right. Yeah. Like, now I get it.
That's right. That's why he bailed. I watched that show a couple of times because my wife and my daughter would watch it. And every time I would watch it, John seemed like the most miserable human on the earth. Like, I've never seen anybody so unhappy in my life. He just looked like, oh, somebody get me out of here with this woman and all these children. How did this happen to me?
He cheated on her, right?
Yeah, I believe he did.
I think that's when I started watching it, like, oh, no, you know,
oh, so
the affair or something. It was something like that I watched it.
Look at you. It's so salacious. Just jumping.
I am.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're done here. I think we've driven this one into the ground. What do you think?
Okay. So, but now we get to that point where we discuss who we think has performed the best.
Well, okay. Who has, you know, oddly enough, who has performed the best on for the men?
Yeah.
Geraldo?
Who?
Geraldo has performed the best for the men.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, right? Like, it's so weirdly subjective. Like, he's going to survive the longest because Trump has a hard-on for him.
Yes, and I'm only looking at that, right? I'm only looking at it as from the perspective of how he's playing the game. Because really, he came up with a slogan that was crappy.
Right.
And that caused him to be in the boardroom. And
he screwed up both of them.
Yeah, he did. He came up with a script for the other one, and that didn't work out. So really, he's not doing great work.
Right.
But in terms of his influence throughout the men's team, I think he's doing the best. So you mean
according to what Trump probably thinks.
Probably.
That's really what you're saying.
Yeah. And also you got to keep in mind, he's a guy who doesn't have to be project manager for a while.
I know.
He's got a win under his belt.
But don't you think that if the guys lose, you know, let's say 3 out of the next 4 or 5, he's going to get called in every time probably, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
And don't you think after a while, you know, that Trump is going to say, geez, you keep getting called in.
Oh, yeah, because that happens when somebody keeps showing up every week. It's like, are you again? Come on. Yeah.
So don't you think then that he's not really performing the best? Like, he's just surviving right now because he's the funky Christmas tree ornament that lights up so pretty and Trump can't stop looking at him. But eventually – like, don't you think, for instance, like, as Trump watches the edit now, right? Because I don't know what he has seen, you know, up until this point. But he probably hasn't seen the edited version, you know, or even if he did, it doesn't matter. That now that once he sees the edited version, he's seeing stuff that he didn't see before. He was getting reports from his people about whatever was happening, but he didn't get to see it. So, like, now he gets to see, right? Like,
I guess. Yeah, I mean, hell, I don't even know if Trump watches this show.
You think he might not watch it at all?
I think it's entirely possible that he doesn't watch it. I think it's possible that he sits there with a bunch of people in a big room. All right, everybody, here's the show. And then it comes on, and then he's just talking to other people, and it's playing, and there's a big party going on. Well, you know, all right, it's time for this week's wonderful episode of Celebrity Apprentice, number one show on the air when it debuted 15 years ago.
No.
Which, you know.
I don't think so. I think he's too in love with himself. He's got to watch it. He's got to watch himself.
He watches when he's on camera.
Oh, I see what you mean. So, like, yeah, so you're saying, like, when they're actually performing the task,
he don't care.
The executives, whatever. Yeah,
whatever. All right, look, what are the people telling me? What is Don Jr. and Ivanka and George telling me?
George is back.
George is back. George is, like, 90. What are they telling me? What are the executives of the company telling me? That's
okay,
all
I'll
I need
that.
To know. Then I make it. Then I know best based on this information. That's how I think that.
Okay,
goes.
So if you're right about that, mm-hmm. then let's just work off of that. So actually, let's say there's two ways to go.
Okay.
So who's performing the best? Actually, period. You know, in terms of performance, unbiased, and then who, you know, is doing the best in Trump's mind. So clearly he loves Geraldo.
Yes.
And that Geraldo can't be taken down.
Yes.
By the way, did you notice that Geraldo, in particular with the Jonas episode, that he was playing the Lou Ferrigno card when he kept saying, listen, you didn't include me in this. You didn't let me do that. Right?
Well, wait
all
a this, second.
All of the criticisms were about the fact that stuff that I had no part of, I wasn't allowed to be there. Did you notice that?
Wait a second. Did Geraldo say that he gave 110%?
No, I did not hear that from him.
I gave 110%. I don't know if you noticed, but I gave 110%, and I gave 110%.
Oh, that was the season when Lou Ferrigno, like Geraldo, isn't this interesting? Lou Ferrigno and Geraldo are also similar because they both kept pissing everybody off, and they both kept getting called into the boardroom, right?
Yes, and they were both guys that I thought were much cooler than they actually were.
Oh,
like they are guys, and this is what happens. We talked about this yesterday. This is what this show does to you.
Yep.
It's a guy that you think, oh, you know what? Okay, Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk, yeah, he's cool. Yeah. He's not that cool. David Cassidy, I like David Cassidy. Maybe you don't like David Cassidy so much. You know, that happens with this show and with Geraldo. Yeah, now I will say Geraldo was at least entertaining. We've talked about him. I feel like 75% of this show has been discussing the name Geraldo.
Which is the way he would have it.
Oh, absolutely. So
they might change the name of the show.
The Celebrity Apprentice featuring Geraldo. I would say, though, as far as who's actually doing decent work, maybe Ian is doing decent work. He seems to be doing all right. He shouldn't have been called into the boardroom, even though he was.
That's true.
Yeah. So I would say that Ian seems to seem like you and I are both looking at him as someone who's going to be gunning for Geraldo, who's the only one who's not really intimidated by him. So I would say, I think Ian is doing well on the men's side.
Okay, so I think we would both agree that Ian is probably the best actual performer and that Trump thinks that Geraldo is just amazing. I also think that Geraldo has been up and down. Like, I think he's had some actually very good moments. And so I actually think he's actually been the second best performer.
Uh-huh.
Would you disagree with that?
The second best performer. You have to take into consideration the first episode. And if we're going, we're going to the season thus far, it's all three episodes. And episode one, he totally killed it.
Yep.
He totally killed it. He brought in the most amount of money. You kept seeing everybody from Fox News showing up with a check, right?
Yep. Yep, so, all true.
Absolutely. So, he is the only man. He's the only man who's got a win next to his name. So,
that's you're right about that.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Okay. All right. So, on the women, then the best performer, I think, is Lisa. Would you agree or disagree?
I would say that on the women's side, it's either Lisa or it's Vivica, because Vivica has the advantage of actually earning a win. Lisa earned a win, but doesn't get credit for it.
And I also think that, to that point, that she kind of got robbed of some of the credit that she should have gotten.
Yeah,
like that was that was really not discussed a whole lot.
Yes.
And maybe that's just her personality. But, she could be one of these people that she's so understated and so like logical. She's like Spock almost, at least from what we've seen so far, that might really carry her well. She stays out of all the drama so far, right?
Yes, so far she does.
Yep. In fact, is she the only one that stays out of the drama? I think she is, right?
For the most part, yeah, I think so. I'm going through the list of ladies in my head right now.
Yeah,
she hasn't had any issues with anybody.
I think, there's been no actual screen time where we've seen her roll her eyes or anything. She's just working.
Yes, that's correct.
And she's kind of pleasant.
And this is exactly what we kind of expected out of her, isn't it?
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
It's actually who's the other guy that does her show? Mario Lopez.
He's not on Entertainment. Is it Entertainment Tonight? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but he does something like that.
He does. I think he's on Extra or something like that.
Lisa never did Extra?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, anyway, I wonder if people that do those sorts of shows are just better equipped for handling drama. You know, that, you know,
maybe
because you have to deal with these pretentious, you know, the stereotype of the pretentious celebrity superstar. And, you know, you have to have a certain mindset.
We all know. Look, we all know what you're trying to say here. She had to put up with John Tesh for all those years. So and you know what? She never lost it. Never complained. Makes perfect sense.
Right. Yeah. Well, OK. So are you saying would you say that right now Lisa is in the best position to win the game?
You know what? It's her. It's because she doesn't have a win yet. Because she doesn't have that yet, I can't give it to her. I'm still leaning towards Vivica because Vivica actually has a win. Kate has a win, but we know that any time that her number comes up again, she's going to be a house of cards, and she might actually be gone just, you know, and assisting in something. You know, she could end up being scapegoated, and everyone will toss her under the bus because nobody had any respect for her when she was the project manager. So for me, can't discount the fact that Vivica actually has a win. I think Vivica.
You know what? You're right. It's weighted so heavily.
Yes.
You know, in that regard, but I don't think that Vivica is a stronger player than Lisa. But you're so right. Like Lisa can actually wind up whatever the task is going to be whenever she takes it over as a project manager, she could actually perform really well. They could still lose because of some nondescript reason that, you know, who knows what it could be.
Right.
Then she won't have the win.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that win, it's a big, big thing.
It's huge. Yeah. You know, you're right. Yeah. You're right. So if you could be like Kate, and I'm now going to call her Skate. If you could be like Skate, and get that quick win – early on, and then just sort of receded to the background, and you know, sort of look like you're working, and
right, don't step on toes, don't cause drama,
right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she, she did cause a little drama when Brandy in the first episode called her lazy, right? That was a little bit of drama, but she's probably. I also think that she's the kind of person that learns fast, so I think she's probably not going to cause drama. But okay, I'm going to say right now. I'm going to put it out here right now. Episode 3. Even though we just said everything we just said.
All right. Go ahead.
Lisa is going to win the Celebrity Apprentice.
Wow. Oh, a bold prediction made.
Lisa Gibbons is going to win Celebrity Apprentice 2015.
Wow. Look, I can't argue it. I'm not going to dispute it. I don't have anything to counter that with. It sounds good. It makes sense, you know. Okay, that's fine.
I'm going with it. And what she should do when she gets to be, you know, a project manager, she should pick one. In my opinion, and it's not an educated opinion, but she should probably pick one where it's a fundraising competition, because I think that she could probably raise more funds than anybody.
Oh, she probably could. She seems – I mean, look, she interviewed everybody in Hollywood. She must know somebody.
Right.
And John Tesh is sitting on all of those millions from those records that he makes.
John Tesh has got to come in.
That's right. Yes.
You know, you're right.
I don't know
if
Barry Hart's going to be down, but Tesh is going to show up and he's going to play those instrumentals that he doles out to old ladies all the time. Yes, correct. Ooh. That elevator music of his. All right. Are we done here? Can we wrap this up?
Yeah, we could totally wrap this up.
All right. So everybody out there, thanks for joining us. Come back again next week as we dissect more of The Celebrity Apprentice. With that, say goodnight to everybody, Joey.
Everybody, you're fired.